Hello, welcome to Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fojo. He is a voice called to restore the dignity of humanity, to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit, to reveal the true identity of Christ in us, to raise and build people of absolute dominion, to raise a fearless generation, to bring salvation to the unsaved, revival to the brokenhearted, liberate men from captivity, to reveal the absoluteness of the Holy Ghost, to break the walls of denomination and bring about unity in the body of Christ across the continent. And now, today's message.
So let me say this here. I've said it over and over again, but I think it's important I throw more light on that. If you study the Pentecostal move that the Lord is unleashing in this particular season, you realize we are more about what God can do than what we're supposed to do with Him. Does it make sense? If you study the end time charismatic movement, it is just centered on what God is doing, right? And now we understanding that everything God unleashes has an assignment and man must partake of. Am I communicating? Now watch me. There are two bodies. There are two entities. There are two systems that the world is forming in this end time. One has got to do with people who just don't believe in anything spiritual. They have so much honor and reverence for God's personality, but they don't believe in the act of spirituality. Everything they know about God was what a denomination opened them up to. So once they see anything that their denomination frowns at, to them, they call it a fallacy. And there are others who also wouldn't want to believe in the patterns that brings about the end time revival. So for them, you realize that they go by what they feel. They are more sensational than they are spiritual. But you see, when people become emotionally connected to a movement, God cuts the grace in that. You know why? Because God is too big to be rattled to the emotion. Do you hear me? That is why anytime the Lord does something or God begins to do something in a time, it's our responsibility to understand what God wants us to do. So we can walk in the very life. That system demands in the spirit. Am I communicating? What God wants to do in the lives of men is not just to make you comfortable, but to bring you into higher height in the spirit, whereby your life becomes the expression of God's life. Am I communicating, friends? You see, watch me. When we teach believers to trust in God, and we don't teach believers to understand that God depends on them to find life, they would live life as though it is theirs. You didn't hear me? Watch me. God is all-powerful. Am I right? But once the Lord begins to do business with men on earth, He limits His possibilities based on a man's understanding. You didn't hear me? Am I teaching here? Tonight you'll be blessed too. Praise God. You see, when we teach believers just to understand that God is there for you just because He wants to meet your need, you would see any other spirit that gives you answers to your prayer as God. You didn't hear me? Because the whole idea of Christianity goes beyond comfortability. It's about partnership with the Father. Today, I would open your understanding concerning God's agenda concerning success. And you know that many of you are pursuing things that have no honor and eternity. So I'm just praying that as I'm speaking to the people here, the Lord is also going to touch anyone that will be listening to us in the global forum to understand that God is doing something this season. It's our responsibility to understand partnership so we can work in the unity of the faith. Are you blessed, somebody? All right. So let's do three readings tonight. The book of Joshua as our first scripture reference. The book of Joshua, the chapter number 1, the verse number 8, success. I told the church, whenever you come for our Wednesday Bible studies, come with a book, come with a pen, come with a recorder. Make sure you are writing down these nuggets. If you look at or listen to the testament of John the Beloved, you realize most of the things God told him had to be documented, because seasons that God brings upon a man determines some kind of diligence He wants us to work with. Am I coming here? So this book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then succeed and have good success. All right. So give me the book of Job, the chapter 38, the verse number 33. That's our second Bible reading here. I'm trusting that today we would walk in deeper dimension of the word. My God. The book of Job, chapter 38, the verse number 33. I like what God was telling Job here. Are you blessed already? All right. The book of Job, 38, verse 33. So we can study this together. What a mighty God we serve. Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you set their dominion over the earth? The verse 34. I like what he said here. Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that an abundance of water may cover you? The verse 35. I like this part so much. Can you send out lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? Our last verse. The book of Isaiah chapter 1, the verse number 17. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There are a lot of quotations about success, but let's just focus on this three, right? Okay, so for us to have a deeper understanding, let us begin with the verse number 15. So we see how God will help us. Are you blessed, somebody? Right. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, help us. Igabaros evelemantis ibiasas. Let's do from verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. This is serious. Go on. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of your burnt offerings of ram and the fat of fit calves. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or lambs or goats. The verse number 12. Go on. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hands to trample my cult? Go on, please. It's powerful. Lord, help us. Bring no more futile sacrifices, incense, and abominations to me. The new moons, the Sabbath, the callings of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meetings. Powerful. Go on. Lord, help us. Your new moons and appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I'm worthy of bearing them. Go on, please. Lord, help us. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Stay here for me. Now watch this. I made you understand that whenever God talks about success, but before I do that, hear this. We live in a generation whereby many of us are so obsessed with whatever life is willing to give us, if it makes sense. We are in a generation where many people have this perception that I must receive everything I have planned for myself in my heart. So, for instance, the average man has this perception that once I go to work, once I make some money, once I'm able to build some investment and then have certain promising future, then I've succeeded. Many people have this in their heart that once they're able to receive all that concerns them, then some way, somehow, they've succeeded. Am I communicating, please? Everybody has a different explanation for what success means to them. Some people in their head, they believe that once they're able to get all the monies in the world, then to them, they've really succeeded. I thank God for that. But if you study the scriptures thoroughly, you realize that God's idea for success has got nothing to do with a man receives. Now, last week Wednesday, I made you understand that a rich man told himself in the Bible that since I have enough and abundance, why don't I break the bands and then create a new one since I'm growing in whatever it is. Am I coming here? Now, the Bible says that night, God told him that you fool, I'll call your soul tonight. The question is, why would a man plan and say, I want to increase my bands, my filth, my farming, my crops, and then that night God takes his soul? Because God wanted a man to know that whatever identity he felt he possessed concerning what he had was not his. Am I communicating, church? He believed that because he saw his physical hard work doing the work, he felt he was the success. And God says, no, I am the one that controls what you receive. Am I communicating, church? So you realize when the guy kept saying, I, it was a hatred, because in the spirit, you can't possess what God has given you. It only makes you a custodian. Am I communicating, church? So God had to call the soul of the man because he didn't own all those things. In fact, God has never given anything to anybody as your total ownership. He gives you only to be a steward. Am I talking here? So God's description or God's definition for what he calls success has got nothing to do with what you receive. Man of God, I have a new car. Thank God. But if you look at it from the kingdom perspective, it's got to do what God wants to do through you, what he has given unto your life. Talk to me, somebody. Am I right? If we don't change our mindset concerning this, we will labor for nothing. Lord, help me. Am I communicating here? Do you know that a lot of people have actually received a lot of things in the name of God gave them, and according to what God says about their life, he's even unaware of what they have. Did you hear that? It is possible to pray to God for something, and what you're praying to God for has got nothing to do with God's plan for your life. But just because you pressed in, you may assume that because it came, God gave. And God says, no. When people pray in alignment with my will, I don't give them what they want. I give them what I want them to have. You didn't hear me? Do you know people have this perception that since God is a father, he must give me what I want? If God must always give you what you want, he will kill you. Because some of the things you want in life are deadly. You didn't hear me? We have a child here. How old is she, please? Would you give her your Range Rover? But you're a good mother, isn't it? Talk to me, please. If she wants to drive because she sees the father drive, you won't give her the car key because she has not matured to have that car. Am I right? Some of the things you're praying to God for are bigger than your capacity. Hello? So God is not predisposed to give what you want in life until he sees the necessity of what you have. So if you define socks about what you have, you're missing. You can be a mother, you may have children, and that may be out of God's plan for your life, all because you didn't meet God's divine timing. So what God discusses as success is not what you have, but who you become. Am I teaching here? Study your scriptures. Anytime the Lord gave any testimonial about the life of any patriarch in the Bible, it was never about what they received, who they became. Study the life of the patriarch. When Paul was talking about them in the book of Hebrews, he realized that every credentials they possessed were never about assets, but identity. Watch this. Anything a man will leave on earth was never created to be the man's own. Does it make sense? Whatever you came to meet will not escort you to where you're going to. Talk to me, please. Who died with his money? Okay, maybe your king died. Who died? Or maybe all the shoes you have in your body. Are you aware you came naked and you go naked? Oh, talk to me, please. They may dress you like a fine girl when you die, Abby. But even after 3 days, that body will decay. That should tell you whatever you came to be is not your own. So why then would you pride in something that God can take from you? Talk to me, church. You see, I was telling somebody that you don't know how good God has been unto you until you begin to compare yourself to somebody. You didn't know what you had was little until you saw somebody's own. It was until you saw someone's own you realized that what you have is little. And if God is to show you what he has done for you without your knowledge, you know he has been more good than your expectation. Talk to me, please. So people should never assume that they are who they are because of what they have. Forget about it. Whatever God gives you, it is to help you understand his goodness towards your life and what he wants you to do in ascending to become patterns and sons in the spirit. These are deep things here. Am I complicated, church? Watch me. It may shock you that 90% of believers who pray don't pray out of God's will. They pray out of passion. They have this feeling God can help them. Abi. So God must give them what they want. And God says, no, 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 no. There are things if I give you, you will lose the love you have for me as God. And God is more concerned about what he thinks of you than what he gives you. You didn't hear that. How much is me? Man of God, pray that will be successful. That prayer will not give you money. That prayer will give you knowledge on how to work in alignment. My words are not class one English. Maybe you know that. It's not like you hear, no. The things I'll tell you, you would have to go pray and then go open your heart. Praise God. It was yesterday that a theologian joined us on our platform. I was talking about destiny. After service, the guy texted and said, please, that guy is not from us. He's not among us. Am I correct here? So God wants us to know, in all humility, that as you are forcing to make things work in life, don't look at the things you have as your own. Because anything can happen where in a moment it can take them away from you. Do you know Job? Job was up there before he realized he was down here. So if his definition for success was about what he had, if he lost them, you become the failure. Meanwhile, his loss was success in the spirit. The friends around him who didn't understand who he was before the Lord felt he was cursed by God. Meanwhile, the loss of the physical asset to God was his success. God says he succeeded because he has stood the test of time. So you are not who you are because of what you have. I'm saying it again. You see, most of us, we've been indoctrinated to believe that once you come from Africa, it is to hustle and get money. Who said so? Hustle, get money, buy a house in this country, or build a house in your country back home, and then maybe you can stay here forever. So people are planning ahead of their life. Funny enough, the issue is, the way you are planning for tomorrow, pray that tomorrow has you mind. Because that tomorrow may never meet you. Can you hear me? A member who was once with us in Germany, for strange reasons, I prayed for him. The man had lived in Germany for over 38 years. God gave him a job. I don't know how pride enters into men. It's serious. Pray that God prunes your character. Because that's the only validation he needs to give you life. Like that. Pray that he can trust how you live your life. So you can give him what you deserve. Because if God can't trust your character, you have no life in him. I'm telling you. Just a job God gave the man, the guy became very pompous, very prideful. Sometimes, if God hasn't given you what you want in life, pray, Lord, search my heart and find what is fighting me. Because you see, there's no enemy that is stronger on the outside than your weakness on the inside. You didn't hear me? I'm going to teach you, friends. Your number one devil is not the witch in your father's house. It's the pleasure. You can't change. You can't stop. That was the story. The guy became very prideful until I realized that at a point, it was insulting. We go to church. That how will church help our lives? How will church help our lives? Can't you see how these days people are insulting pastors everywhere on social media? Anybody can talk rubbish because there's freedom of speech. Well, it's fine. Now, the guy who insulted us can't talk again. Am I communicating here? Watch me. Tomorrow doesn't have an assurance. Watch me. Your insurance is not your assurance. Did you hear that? Your car insurance is not your assurance for future. Did you hear that? You may lose the car and you may lose your life and they take the money from you. So the idea where people live as though nothing can happen to them, tell them danger is coming. Am I teaching here? So it is never about what you receive, I'm telling you. I don't know, but it is never about that. I'm not preaching to make you mediocre. I'm not going to say that this is unimportant. You see, these things, they come in respect of what you know concerning life and patterns. I'm not teaching here. But primarily, it's about what God thinks of you that makes you a successful person. Am I teaching here? Yes. Are you aware that it was the fear that Noah had for God that was captured in him as God's testimony? God never said God loved Abraham because he was rich. He loved him because he was obedient to his word. So what God thought of him was what God sees the guy was. In the sense that this was what made him successful in life, his obedience to God. Watch me. It is very possible for the devil to have a prayer point. Did you hear that? I'm doing a recap, so I'm going very fast here. It is very possible for the devil to do what? To answer your prayer point. Are you shocked? Oh. You think because you pray in the name of Jesus, an enemy can come around you? The Jesus who fasted 40 days, 40 nights, when he finished on the fasting, the first person he met was who? The devil. I was thinking the fasting he has as God will make him fall. He even stood and asked God questions. And God even answered. So assuming that because you prayed out of faith, who says faith means belief? Faith doesn't mean belief. Faith actually begins to understand who you are in God and what God wants you to have and applying the knowledge in having them. Then you pray belief that makes the faith. My God. Come on, teaching friends. So forget about what you have. Man of God, I've struggled for 20 years. 20 years means not eternity. 20 years in eternity looks like a pinch of salt. Talk to me, please. Am I correct here? When my late grandfather, that I was in Ghana, I was standing by my father. We're there when we're putting him in the graveyard. We're there when somebody told us, man of God, I couldn't see you. I couldn't see. I want to touch your grandfather's casket. And then I was praying that God should, the way the Lord used him to heal the sick when he was alive, let God heal me too. It's scripture, remember? The Bible says they placed Elisha in the graveyard and his bones were there. When they placed a dead man, the man arose. So don't think they want to care. Hello? See, I said, ah, so this man, even though he's there, dude, through faith and alignment, somebody understand what he needs to pray and go heal the person. But the man is still dead. Talk to me, please. It's never about the man, it's about God's integrity. Talk to me, somebody. At a point, I heard, I don't know if it was a car, was it? I think it was a Toyota car, right? When they found the fault in the car. And they had to call all the cars to bring the cars back to them again, right? So they could repair whatever thing it was in the issue. Now watch me. Do you think the people know you by your name? They don't know you by your name. And it's they protected their brand. That's why they do what it says. Because they know their brand is their name. Talk to me, somebody. So God has a seal on you. He will not give you what will destroy his image. You didn't clap your hands. So keep it in your mind, friends. So success is not what you have. Keep it in your mind. You are a mother of 5 children. They are not yours. It's for God. He has given you power to control them. I'm telling you. He can do whatever he wants to do and you can ask him any question. Can you ask God why your father died? Am I teaching here? Yes. Lord, help me. Are you blessed? You see, when we have this understanding, we will not. Sometimes people come to me for prayers. And I know that 90% of the things I pray to God for are not things God will not answer. Not because God will not answer. These things are not meant to be prayed about or prayed for. Truly speaking, there are things God wants us to know as part of our life. Watch me. Will you ever think of what to eat tomorrow when your father is a king? Hello? I was told in the whole wide world, there's only one person who doesn't need passport to travel. Because the person himself is a passport. Then it was the Queen of England. Now it's the King of England. He doesn't need to pass. He's passport himself, if it makes sense. No immigration is big enough to say, please, passport. No, come on. He didn't do that. God is good. They asked him some time ago if he paid. He says, I'm the money. It's not the paper you want, I'm the money. Praise God. I watched an interview with one guy in America who was trying to speak with the President of America, Joe Biden. And they asked him that, so if you want an ice cream now, how fast can you get it? The guy just press something in less than 2 seconds. It was in his room. As a power is better. Watch me. If you want to live a normal life, you would allow the pleasures of the world fool you. And truly speaking, they've got nothing to offer. Because life evolves every blessed day. The things that looked the most important 20 years ago, they mean nothing today. True or false? Yes. You see my trousers? Years ago, 25 years, 30 years ago, it was the big thing. Am I right? And then skin tight came. All began to wear skin tight. Now skin tight has left. It has come back again. Solomon was wise. So he says, there's nothing new. I bought a suit years ago and there was no belt. The belt was attached to the trousers. There was just a black thing like that. Daddy showed me a picture where he wore the same thing years ago. I said, so there's nothing new again. The same thing that is coming again. Huh. Well, some of our youngsters here, they have this feeling that because they haven't seen their future, they assume all it takes to alive what they see today. No, it goes beyond that. Are you blessed, family? Yes. So please, if you begin to think you are successful because of what you have, think twice. It's always about identity. What you have. It's about what God wants you to know about yourself. That's God's description for success. Are you blessed? Lord, help us. Hear this, and then I give you 5 laws that God wants us to live by. I was reading the book of Hebrews 11, verse 4. Please go to this. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Where we come from, we say Hebrews. Hebrews 11. Hebrews. Are you blessed? Oh, are you blessed, somebody? All right, they're learning here. The book of Hebrews. All right, so the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gift, and through it, he being dead still speaks. Hear this. Who has physical money here? Who has money here? 10 euros, 5 euros, please be very fast. So we can do an example here. Now watch this. So this is 5 euros. So I am Abel. I have come before the Lord. I have come in honor of his integrity. I've come to offer my praise unto him. This is my token of love. I present it to him as my gift. In my mind, at least, the Lord should look at my heart, look at my seed, and protect me from the death of my brother. I offer to you a sacrifice, and you couldn't see the need of protecting me. You openly rejected my brother's offering and called mine the best because it came from my heart. And you allowed my brother to kill me. And it was after my death, you now give me a testimony of who I am before you. Of what benefits is the testimony after death? Somebody says, a man died of hunger, yet there was abundance of food at his funeral. I'm teaching deep things today. So, God, this testimony about me being a righteous man, at least it will be a blessing if you had conferred this honor upon my life when I was alive. Now that I'm dead, you are not testifying to ancient spirits that the man that lived was a holy man. Of what benefit is there? Is this comment after I die? Just imagine somebody begging for help. Two of us, help, help. And it is after the person has died, you want to help the person. How is that possible? Yes, this was what God saw. You see, it's serious. God waited to see the man die before he gives this testimony, because God wants him to know that your true life has got nothing to do with what men see, but what I can talk about, what I can testify about. Your true life is not here on earth. It actually begins when you leave this earth. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Are you blessed already? That's deep. So you be there and let somebody tell you you only have one life to live. The person is deceiving you big time. Yeah. I was on a flight and God told me that what we know is like a drop of water. What we don't know is like an ocean. What we know, it's only like a little drop of water. What we don't know is like an ocean. So thank God for whatever you have, but it doesn't make up your being. Am I teaching here? I want to give you something very deep. But, well, when I teach you on destiny, I'll talk about that. Now, have it in mind. Now the Lord has made us understand that success has got to do with the identity a man receives in the spirit. Remember that reception came on the platform of obedience to kingdom instructions. Am I communicating here? Nothing is ever permitted to work without people not obeying laws God brings about. Now watch me. In order for God to call you successful, there are two things God wants you to know. There is the love of the Father and the law of the Father. People assume that because God loves them and they love God as well, it is God's responsibility to give them what they deserve. And God says, no. It is a responsibility to understand what it means to obey kingdom instruction so what God has said can come to pass in your life. Because according to God's original plan, his love does not bless. His love only protects. His law brings about blessings. You can be loved by the Father and still die in poverty. You didn't hear me? Or because what God needs from you is that love you contribute through law. Watch me. God will never in his life bypass a law to honor love. It ties his love to a law. Talk to me, somebody. Watch me. Just imagine going to school and you are an A student and then you fail big time on the exams day. Do you think your teacher will say, because you always pass in class, let me let you go to the next class? No, don't do that. They will tell you that we want to see if you are worth whatever promotion we want to give you. So this is the same thing in life. God says there are things you can never receive in destiny until you obey the instructions that concerns your patterns in life. Can you hear me? There is a pattern allocated to you. Well, let me say there is a path allocated to you. Hello? There is something God has given unto your life. Talk to me, church. And the Lord says all these things can only be a possibility based on your obedience. So if a man must succeed, he must know two things, right, for me. The love of the Father and the law of the Father. So God is telling Joshua here. Let's go back to Joshua, please. Joshua 1 verse 8. He's telling him that I have loved you, and because of the love I have for you, I've made you the king or the chief or the leader or the army commander of my people. But to succeed, it goes beyond the love I have for you. The love has brought you, but to extend in power and legacy will be the law. Oh, Jesus. Oh, this is powerful. Be magnified, O Lord. We say you are highly exalted. We say, and there is nothing you can do. We say, O Lord, my eyes are on you. We say, be magnified, hey, oh Lord, be magnified. All right, so write for me. Every law has a different reward. Every law has a different reward. Number two. The completion of one law doesn't give you the benefit of the other. God is multifaceted. God is multidimensional. Inasmuch as God is full of the abundance of light, a man needs to walk in destiny. There are certain things he will tell you to follow. The very moment you choose which of the law to obey and look at the other, you will only enjoy the benefit of the one you've obeyed. Am I communicating? Why do you think many believers are not experiencing the holistic measure of God's grace? Or because they choose what patterns they want to follow. This morning, we had a powerful time in gospel. It was serious. I was very tired, but the prophet was serious. Unto a lady, did you guys join us? When I was ending the service, and God told me the lady is crying big time in the bedroom. I let the man of God locate it. I'm like, the Lord says for 13 years of your life, you are missing from God's radar. So for 13 years, when God decides he can't find you. And God told me what made you disappear from his plan was that you married the wrong man. And I said, what has happened? And she confirmed that for 13 years, the guy had left the country. And is not taking care of the children for 13 years. So she's struggling to live. And she lives in one place in the north. Very far. Now, you know that it was a stronghold there. So there's nothing working there. So God told me that at the spot, in order to help her feed herself and feed her children, I should give her half a million silver. You see, when you're under the anointing, you can give promises. When you leave the unction, you calculate it in English. You're like, ah, waiting. So I asked my guy who I made them send the money that, so what is the equivalent of this money? This is over 700 euros. I said, what? For a village girl? What would she do with it? But you realize that it goes beyond what we are given. It's about what God is doing through us, so he can give us himself. Do you know why? Because the greatest gift a spirit can give you is his presence. Am I teaching me? So God says, many people shouldn't just assume that they're who they are because of what they have. But in order for them to walk in whatever honor life presents to them, they must obey the laws. So God says, this book of law should not depart from your mouth. Never. In order to be prosperous and have good success, meditate on the Lord day and night. Am I teaching you? It was Masmuru who said that the average believer has decided not to bring about one tenth of whatever God has given unto them, because they've chosen to be mediocre. They are comfortable with the little they have, and they don't know that they are affecting God's personality for choosing that lifestyle. Oh, God help us. Oh, I'm blessed. I'll give you 5 laws today, and I'll give 5 on Friday. And then a week after, I'll teach you certain things to do to receive the life you deserve. Are you blessed, please? Let no one make you believe that people were born to succeed. Am I communicating here?
Yes.
We had a conference in Germany last weekend. My God, what a presence. It was serious. Mimi took the mic. She was ministering. You see, when people carry grace, they don't tell you, they show it. You could see a strong change in the atmosphere. I said, Kai, people have unction. Literally, people were dancing. Somebody held mic. In 2 seconds, the place changed. You could literally feel clouds descending. If it makes sense. God is too powerful. There's something about his majestic nature you can understand. Enter like that. And I realized that beyond the fact that our parents led us to God, it was also our responsibility to uphold their life. You hear me? You see, you can take your child to school, you can learn for them. Praise God. Yes. So God says, in order to become what I say about life, understand these are laws to obey. Now, if you study theology, Joshua happened to be one of the most successful leaders Israel ever produced. Because it wasn't about the law, it was about the law he obeyed. He will not do anything until God has spoken. Some time came when God told him that I'll give you victory over your enemies. I'll show you now. He went for the battle and he came back as a failed man. Do you know what it means to give a prophecy and it doesn't manifest? Just imagine telling over 2 million people that God's people, God says, as we go for this battle, we are coming back as winners. A pastor I know prophesied about football. He lost his church. He lost his church. Was it this your last year playing at AFCON? Was it this your last year? The AFCON, this year, right? This year, who won? Ivory Coast. Uh-huh. The guy, I see Nigeria taking the cup. Hey! Not knowing people had to go and bet with their homes. When the prophecy didn't manifest, he says, I didn't see the vision where he lost his church. So just imagine that you prophesy, I see that we'll win the battle, and then you come back as a failure. They'll be like, Prophet Joshua, how can you tell us? God does not lie, so who lied? God is, how can you tell us God says we'll win and we came back as failures? So the Bible says he went to inquire from the Lord. And God says, I promised you victory But the victory I promised you was tied to instruction. The instruction was that don't go and touch anything that is not clean. It says somebody around you has touched an unclean thing. And because of that, my presence has departed from you. He was called Achan. What did Joshua do? Joshua says, you have made us disgrace God by telling something he said. But it looks like what is happening in the physical state is giving us a different representation of God himself. The Bible says he openly called these people and killed them life and colored. Do you know why? Because beyond prophecy, you need obedience to find expression. So if you study the Bible, it is all about laws, laws, laws. Do this and be that. Do this and be that. Everything about God's life is connected to a law. Am I communicating here? You see, when I began to prophesy as a very young prophet, I had this perception that when we tell people that God says you are blessed, the word of God that has come forth must find its way to manifest in a man's life. God told me no. When God speaks to you, you have the permission to either say yes or no to the word. Your obedience will either be yes, disobedience is no. So never assume that because prophecy has come forth, it must automatically manifest until you know what you're supposed to do to work in that life. So God says, in order for people to have good success, this book of law should not depart from their mouth. You see, watch me. A lawless man is a careless man. If you don't govern your life with laws, you are a careless person. People have this feeling that they must be understood for who they are. If you really want to know how prideful people are, try to correct them by the laws. You didn't hear me? This country is not better than the countries in Africa. The issue is they've decided to build their lives in laws. Talk to me. Some time ago, we're driving, and boom, the camera stopped us. After 2 days, they give us current bill. If this happened in where I come from, Ghana, you call an uncle and I say, uncle, please. And I was talking, forget the bill. Hello? They've decided to hide their faces and do what the law says. So how do you want God to rule a people when there's nothing to govern their statuses? So the first law, write for me, that God requires for us to walk in success is called the law of intimacy. If anybody must be a success, the first law required is the law of intimacy. Intimacy simply means coming into a deeper fellowship with God. Having a deeper encounter with Jesus. Having a deeper reverence for God. You are not serving God within the confines of doctrines or dogmas or whatever a church represents, but getting to know God for his personality and for who he is. Having the knowledge of how to experience God in ways that goes beyond what people think it is. Intimacy. Experiential knowledge about God's personality. That's intimacy here. Many have grown in church. They didn't grow in Christ. Lord help us. Let me say something that sounds contradicting here. You see, when you are a lover of God, what happens to you isn't your concern. It is God's concern. Do you know why? Because you have lived your life in serving his purposes. You didn't hear me? Yesterday, I released a post, if you watched it, about things that happen in the future. And I said, God loves us equally, but treats us differently. And he does it based on our commitment to his law and interests. That's life. So God says, there's no way I can give people the success I call good until I see what they have for me as God. You will not know that people don't love God. An issue happened in our community of recent. A lady came up to me and said, she's dating one of my sons. They live in America. And I began to pray. I prayed for 3 non-stop. And I said, it will not work. Can I come and see tears? She was crying. Man of God, this, dad. I said, I've prayed. So I told my son. My son says, Papa, you have said that I'm okay. So the guy went and boom. He broke up with the girl. He even made it worse. So I realized the girl was not coming on the platform again. So our connection says, I was praying to God that God should give me a husband. And since God didn't give me a husband, I've thought. So I prayed, and then later I realized that the lady was living with a man. And they were planning to go marry in Cameroon in December. At the same time, dating my son. Anyway. So I realized that my son and his people were all posting my picture. You're a prophet indeed. I said, I understand why. Until they told me, the man of God, when you told your son that there are 2 men in the picture and it's only an option because of what he's only receiving. This one makes sense now. I said, what we know is like a drop of water. What we don't know is like an ocean. Now, you realize that everything was, what will God give me? Intimacy does not require what God will give you, but who you become in God. Am I teaching here? Apostle Paul says, where I am in life now, what at all can separate me from the love of the Father? Nothing. Is it pain? Is it trouble? You see, people go through depression and they stop coming to church. It was the church they were serving, not God. Watch me. You must learn to go beyond the scope of emotionalism. Where you see, you don't serve God with feelings. Don't think because you share tears in a place of prayer, it will move God's heart. Who says God will listen to your cry? That's your cry, you cry when watch a movie too. Oh, go do that. Come on, movie, you are sharing tears. Your prayer sharing tears. Which of the tears is genuine? The one they are acting, they feel they take money. Do you know this movie? Karishika. Do you know the movie? Do you Karishika? You know right? You watch some. Hey, not us alone. Long time, man. That's welcome to Destiny Club here. I'm have this. Just crying for nothing. God is good. I watched the movie years ago, Destiny by Genevieve Nagy, and she died. I was crying. She just died. And I saw in the next verse, she didn't die again. Praise God. So when it concerns intimacy, it's never about what God would have you receive. How am I teaching here? You see, it is the revelation we have about God that sponsors our passion. When people are not passionate in their service, know that they only have an idea of a man called God, but they have not come into encounter with his personality. God rewards intimacy. Intimacy means deeper commitment. Am I teaching you? As to what God thinks of me is God's burden. The only thing I have is to live a life that gives him honor as a person. I'm telling you. Am I teaching you? Intimacy. No. Europe has filtered a lot of believers. Europe has disdained a lot of believers. Europe has changed a lot of believers. And it may shock us that the people will perceive our Christians as charlatans. All because the issues of life will expose them. You see, the Bible says, anyone that falls in the day of adversity, you were never strong. You are a weak child. You have one assignment. Was it last December? I was extremely sick. You know, when you go to Africa now and you come back, mosquito, and me too, I was in Africa and I was exposing my body. You got this colored hot sand. And you see, where I slept was close to the sea. So, correct breeze at night, and the breeze can be mosquitoes too. So, as I'm enjoying the wind, they are giving me, God is good. I realized the next day I had to come and preach here. I don't know how the sickness, it disappeared though. Sickness disappeared. I came to preach. After preaching, it came back again to me. So the sickness even knows that when it's time for preaching, it can't penetrate. It has to wait. 31st December, I went to church, preach. People were falling everywhere. After service, I couldn't walk. I said, how is that happening? Now, you see, you must so much love God until life has respect for your conviction. Number two, you can never be termed success in life when you don't understand the power of mental transformation. The second thing that gives a man success is what God calls mental transformation, the law of mental transformation. I have told you over and over again, ladies and gentlemen, that you are what you think. 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 I'm telling you. You are not different from how you think. Whatever you possess is as a result of whatever mindset that brought it to pass. Your mindset is your life. Limitations don't come from outside. They come from inside. Expansion does not come from outside. It comes from inside. If we don't change how people think, we can't change their life. We can tell the end of men based on how they think. No, you see, never in your life be anxious or be jealous over someone's resource. The conclusion of the matter will be based on how they think. Do you know why? Because you can receive a thing through passion. When there's no mental transformation, life requires you to go back to the same level again. I'm not teaching you. You will not know that people are living a laborious life because of how they think. Hey, your mind is a garden. It will grow whatever you sow. Lord, help us. The mind. How do you think? I wish I had the whole day. Am I going to see? Watch me. Many believers don't know that God depends on their mind to give them the life they require. You didn't hear me? When I pray to God about something, beyond the needs, beyond my petition, God depends on what I know to give me answers to that. If I think like a failure, what I receive as an answer prayer is failure. In fact, God respects how I think and what I see. Check your life now and be sincere. You will know that certain openings that closed were as a result of the thoughts you inculcated. Number three, and then I leave you. Why are you blessed? Are you sure? The third law. All right, so please write this under the mind for me. Whenever God talks about memory, it means the ability to replay your past. And whenever God talks about imagination, it means the ability to pre-play the future. Oh, Lord, help us. Please go back to We Magnified again, right? This is powerful. I can talk about the man the whole day. Whenever God talks about the mind, there are two things he's looking at: your memory and your imagination. Memory means the ability to replay the past. And imagination means the ability to pre-play the intended future. Are you blessed? The third law that is responsible for success is called the law of difference. Please understand that difference, the law of difference. Understand that we are different in nature, we are different in alignment, we are different in giftings, and we are different in covenantal practices. Never in your life ever try to be something you are not, because life responds to peculiarity. Being peculiar in the things you do will give you the rewards you deserve. You are not like everybody. You are a special breed. You are a special person. And you are different in your acting ways. I'm telling you. Am I talking here? Are you aware that society is forcing us to be something we are not? Talk to me, church. The law of difference. My time is up. Please write this for me, and I'll give you the extra 7 on Friday. Write this under the law of difference for me. Similarity creates comfort, but difference creates a reward. That's powerful. I like that. Similarity creates comfort, but difference creates our reward. We are rewarded based on our differences. Differences. The day you get to know who you are and how different you are to society, and having the knowledge that backs who you are as a person, it gives a reward you deserve. Am I communicating here? Difference is God's creation. Am I communicating, please? Yes. God will reward a man based on your individual differences. I will never forget this testimony. I told you how a very long time we're doing youth programs, and then our attendants were not youth. I'm like, why would God not give me youth attendance? For a very long time, I'll do youth programs, and then 90% of the people come for the program are adults. I'm like, why would God do that to us? We loved to vibe like others were doing because we thought we were youngsters. So at that time, it was a norm for a youth pastor to do program and have youth members. But for some reason, we'll do everything we ought to do, and then people not just come for youth conference. 90% were just adults. I was here one day praying here. I stood by my father's chair praying, and God told me that, young man, we are preparing you for the future to come, and that the speed at which we want to give you, if we give you the heart of youth, they will kill the vision. He says only the aged, the adult, and the learned will understand your vision, understand your language, and give you the resources you need. It makes sense now. It didn't make sense 10 years ago. It makes sense now. The law of difference. Getting to know how different you are with somebody gives you the honor not to look at them with a jealous eye. You see, men who are envious are men who haven't discovered themselves. Be upstanding. So I'll give you the extra 7 on Friday. Lord, help us. Lift up hands. This is wonderful. Are you blessed, somebody? Lift your hands, church. We say forever, oh Lord. We say thy word.
Thy word is settled.
We say
in heaven
forever see, forever. Hallelujah, see. Oh, Lord. We say that. Alright, now lift your hands above your head. You are speaking to God in the next 2 minutes. The Father, as I begin to pray, Lord, as I begin to pray, Lord, as I begin to pray, open the eyes of my understanding. Open the eyes of my heart and show me the way that will please you. Lift your voice and pray. Open the eyes of my understanding and show me what will please you. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Open the eyes of our understanding and may we know that will please you. Lift your voice and pray. Open the eyes of our heart. May we know. Let a fire sepele ma. Ina mama sha. Lipala bede begeda. Ina papa leba. Rente media. Misha prata. Lift your voice and pray. Let Pele Bagada. Let Pele Bagada. Let Pele Bagada. Let in the name of Jesus, lift up your hands, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. We give you praise,
amen.
We acknowledge you,
yes, Lord.
And we say, let the kingdom reign forever,
amen.
We thank you for your presence,
thank you, Lord.
And we say, reign,
yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, we pray,
amen.
Let us say, amen.
Thank you. And God bless you for listening to Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fodjo. Don't forget to share with us how this message has been a blessing to you and your family on +324 920904 54 or email us at office@benjaminfodjo.org. Follow Prophet Benjamin on Facebook, YouTube, podcast at Prophet Benjamin Fodjo. On Instagram is Benjamin_Fodjo. Twitter is @SeniorBenjaminFodjo. And on website is www.benjaminfodjo.org. Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fodjo. The vision, the mission, the passion.